and they're giving us these, you know, these crazy comparable experiences that were previously only seen at theme parks.
Hello, and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner, as always, here with Matt Anderson. Today, we're talking to David Lopez, president of MediaCentric. He's going to talk about AV integration, the changes in technology that he's seen over the years, and even his recent visit to Brookings, South Dakota. All right, we're here with David Lopez from MediaCentric. David, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Can we start off with just a quick background of yourself and how you got involved with MediaCentric?
Sure. Well, overall, I got into computer technology. I went to a certified computer technician trade school when I was 19 years old. Actually, 18 years old, 18 to 19. So fresh out of high school, I actually got certified as a computer technician. And then in 86, so I was 19, I got hired with the stock market company, Quotron, it was called. And I did Unix mainframe technologies, installation, and services in that market for 86 to 95, almost, you know, 14 years there, 9 years there. and then basically from 95 to 2000, I got into AV integration and video conferencing. So, you know, I was able to take all that IT experience and overall technical services experience and then apply that towards audiovisual integration. And then when the world did not come to an end after Y2K, I basically went out on my own in May of 2000 and started MediaCentric. Then MediaCentric. So what started out is just myself. I had enough work. I was with a particular large national AV integrator that ended up closing its doors, and I kind of saw that writing on the wall. But I was able to get about 3 or 4 months worth of services work and you know, basically enough work for me to go out on my own and feel comfortable to go out on my own. And then I hired my first technician probably within 9 months. And that technician is still with me today, although he's a former senior AV engineer, but still with me to this day. And then so essentially MediaCentric has evolved into a wholesale labor commissioning and programming subcontractor to the AV industry. Our clients are typically integrators, distributors, and manufacturers in the pro AV and IT space. And these customers come to us for regular services on their projects. And actually next year, we will be celebrating 20 years in business. We provide a variety of services that customers can pick and choose from. And these services might range on a project by project basis, depending on the need of that particular project, or strategically regular choices that they use for very specialized services with us to supplement or round out their overall service offerings. The types of services we provide are installation and integration, design and engineering, sales and engineering, project management, systems commissioning, systems or DSP programming, training, network infrastructure, CAD, newly launched recently is white labeled help desk, field service and maintenance and consulting. And then also last year, we launched a franchise model. So between either corporate expansion or a select and strategic franchisee, MediaCentric's goal is to be a nationwide system of consistent and quality subcontract services to the AV and IT industry.
Okay. So of all the different services and products and stuff that you guys help with, what would you say are some of the markets you help with, right? Because an AV system, IT integration, all that can kind of cover a wide range. Is it corporations? You know, we're a lot in the stadiums and arena business, but what kind of markets do you help serve with that?
Even like colleges and universities or convenience stores or...
Oh yeah, honestly, it all summarized into the three, you know, highest top level categories, which would be corporate, government, and education. Okay. So obviously, corporate can range from anything from conference rooms, auditoriums, NOx, huddle rooms, board rooms, sophisticated training rooms, education, you know, higher education, you know, K through 12, you name it, government, you know, government ranges from all types of different kinds of rooms, secure and unsecure. I mean, it's really whatever the integrator typically brings to us, but we've seen the gamut. I mean, take any one of those categories and it can still break down into many more categories.
So within those categories, what do you feel the role of the AV integrator is for any of those system integrations?
Well, you know, honestly, the AV integrator, a definition for that can get pretty deep and technical, but a more basic definition that I would say is they're a technology contractor engaged by many different types of clients in many different types of industries and vertical markets to provide technology solutions that contain some form of video, audio, automation, networking, lighting, and acoustics. And they can provide these services as fixed installations or temporary live events that we've all seen, corporate events or any kind of show. But we typically, MediaCentric typically provides fixed installation services. As far as the AV integrator goes, most companies that provide the skilled labor for these services, they always need help delivering on the workload. Mm-hmm. They employ technicians, leads, foremen, project managers, AV engineers, programmers, service techs, trainers, and many variations in between. And it's just not sustainable. It's not a sustainable business practice for them to staff up for all the peaks of all the, for their sales year after year, mm-hmm. and then have varied seasons where small or large amounts of staff are not working, and then not billing and costing money, or if they're not given those employees enough work, then they're going to lose those employees and they're going to go somewhere else. So the practical solution, like any division of labor, is to staff for the averages or even below averages, and then outsource or subcontract various skilled labor services to a company like MediaCentric that you can trust and that you have a long-standing relationship with, a company that performs in a consistent way and with quality you can count on and stand behind, since they're representing that particular integrator. This is why I've been very successful at starting with myself almost 20 years ago in Southern California to now what's close to 50 employees in four states, and uh-huh. we're continuing to grow. We also travel quite a bit, and a couple of years ago we tracked that we worked in 23 different states in just one particular year. I think it was 2017.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I was going to ask, too, aside from the different markets, what is your range across the country? Or how far do you guys go? But you mentioned traveling to 23 different states. So you cover different areas of the country.
Yes. Currently, we have localized technicians in Northern California, Southern California, all throughout Northern California and Southern California, Arizona, Texas, and Missouri.
In those areas, what are some of the biggest projects you've had, or what's the, like maybe even your first project that you had after you started the company 20 years ago?
Well, because of the discretion we always maintain for the integrators that we work for, I can't use specific names, but generally speaking,
we'll say Project A.
That's another way why we do so well, is because we're very discreet about our clients. You know, yep. We never share information between the projects we work on. But anyway, we've done some really cool things. I mean, it might just be a matter of huge rollouts where we're doing hundreds and hundreds of conference room upgrades with various conference rooms, some small, simple, standard room types, all the way up to a number of sophisticated spaces that they have, divisible, combinable spaces, boardrooms, what have you. So we've literally, I think one of the largest rollouts that we were part of was we ourselves probably did about 600 to 700 rooms over a span of about 9 months.
Oh, wow.
But we've done 50, 100 rooms, very often, quite a bit, as well as, 5, 10, 15 rooms here and there, quite a bit. But we've definitely, we've seen some all the large corporate tech type companies or any kind of other trades, law firms or even education. I mean, we've done some pretty cool, sophisticated spaces. I mean, just elaborate audio, let's say, obviously, like as this discussion is progressing about video walls, a lot of video conferencing. We've done some pretty cool, government, I've been involved in some really cool security, government, high security type operations where all the video conferencing is done over secure, either cryptology, or just secure networks on their IP networks. So there's quite a gamut.
Government stuff. I'm sure you can't talk about that.
The government stuff. Is there, yes. So we're thinking about how long you've been helping out and being involved in the different technologies over the years, even since you started the company. You hit a little bit there on LED walls. Are you starting to see that a lot more than you did, I don't know, I would say even 5-6 years ago? Because I know at Daktronics, we see more places that LED video walls go in. That I mean, I've been with DAC for a little over 12 years, and over the last 5 years, you just see it in different industries. So as you, as an AV integrator who maybe deals with, you know, maybe more LCDs on a normal basis, are you starting to see LED displays starting to become mentioned a lot more in projects?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, overall, like, let's just say, for example, for quite a number of years in the company, let's say from the beginning all the way through, you know, maybe about 3 to 4 years ago, because of my IT background, we were known and specialized for a lot of video conferencing infrastructure. I mean, a lot of endpoints and codecs, as well as the infrastructure, MCUs, gateways, gatekeepers, firewall traversal. I mean, we did a ton of that for many, many years. I mean, we still did all of the AV integration that we've been talking about, but we were kind of known and we were very differentiated in that kind of space. Cisco, Polycom, you know, many others. Even I personally used to do, you know, a ton of that. That's so we had like this really unique differentiation, and it would end up pulling and pushing all kinds of other, you know, work our way. But with the disruption of that space, and now people going away from prem-based equipment, really expensive, you know, premise-based equipment to the cloud, you know, like Zoom, obviously Zoom disrupting the industry and you know, killing it now on Wall Street. We don't see that. We haven't seen those types of projects in the last few years. So I'm always looking for that next potential disruptive you know, type of technology that we can become really good at, that we can invest in, and that we can become, you know, known for, or at least specialized in. And so for several years now, I mean, video walls and LED walls, that's it. I mean, mm-hmm. I knew, okay, I lost, you know, with the industry overall doesn't have this need for this other specialization we have. So we as a company need to continue to differentiate ourselves. So video walls was definitely it. So yes, as you described, we've done a lot of LCD-based video walls over the years, but you know, we've seen all of these large experiential type video walls mm-hmm. that are out there, and I mean, it's so cool, right? So I knew, like, I want us to get into that, and so we've been getting certified, we've been getting a lot more experience, we've been marketing it, staying close with certain integrators that we work with, as well as mm-hmm. manufacturers like yourselves, and positioning ourselves for more certifications and to be able to become very specialized in that space.
Yeah, and it kind of makes me curious. Me being in marketing, I always like to ask people, so with you getting involved and hearing more about LED walls, when did you hear about Daktronics, or how have you heard about us? Is it, I don't know, some people always say, you know, we used to use your scoreboards in our high school growing up and different things. How did Daktronics kind of come into the phrase with this?
Yeah, well, honestly, there's a particular employee that's a little, you know, newer for you guys that works within the channel space. So there was some introductions and discussions along those lines. Okay. He's actually friends with one of my sales and business development employees, Mark Del Judas. So there was some connection there and some camaraderie already. So we were keeping up with him in this space. But I've obviously heard of Daktronics, you know, for quite some time, but again, like the context, like you said, scoreboards and just the large, you know, the large types of LED space. But you know, quite honestly, it was more through this more recent employee that you have and learning a little bit more, and then you know, along the lines of wanting to make this concerted effort in this space, and finding out that Daktronics is, you know, one of the few LED manufacturers. I mean, your longevity in the United States, but that you were trying to, you know, do as much manufacturing and production in the US. I mean, that made sense, you know, mm-hmm. to us to try to pursue.
Right. And you were just up here recently for some certification training, correct?
Yes. Yes, we were a couple months ago.
What are your thoughts on that? First of all, have you ever been to South Dakota before you came up for this factory testing?
Absolutely not. It became a new check mark on my states visited of the U.S. for
you're
sure.
You're not the first person to reply to that question with "No, I haven't been there before." So,
yes, it was nice. It was actually fun. I was actually looking forward to adding that state on the list.
Okay. Did you end up flying into Sioux Falls then and make your way up to our Brookings
yes.
campus?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. What were your thoughts when you came in? Whenever we have different customers always come visit us, we always try to get as many people as we can to come visit our Brookings headquarters here. And it's always interesting hearing their thoughts as you're coming up the interstate and then all of a sudden seeing the Daktronics campus, they always call it. What were your thoughts kind of as you made your way into our campus?
Yeah. Honestly, that was the big, awareness moment and aha moment for me, because I had no idea that you were that big and had been around for that long. And so I was honestly, we were all actually very impressed. I didn't know much about Daktronics in detail until this year. I've only known about you, as a major player in large outdoors, LED or billboard and messaging and, scoreboard company. But I didn't even know until this year that you were over 50 years old, all U.S. owned and operated and manufactured there in South Dakota. So that was definitely cool. I mean, I see that a lot being in California. I go to Northern California a ton. So I've been on I've been in most of the major technology campuses, that are there in Northern California.
Oh, yeah.
Your facility may not have been as flashy as some of them, but but it was definitely as big, as big as many of them.
Did you find anything specifically really helpful during that that certification training that you're up here for?
Sure. Well, ultimately, the three of us that went to the training were able to go through it and upon completion be, a lot more comfortable that we can install, your particular NPN series products, on our own and become very proficient at it. A big part of it was because the training was mostly hands-on, but yet with the right amount of presentation and theory to prepare us, for what you were gonna, for what we were gonna do, during the hands-on part. I've been to lots of trainings over the years, and sometimes they're all theory, and sometimes they're, all just lab. And it's nice to get a little bit of theory and in depth of, okay, this is this particular part of the process and we're going to teach you this. And it wasn't a lot, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and we could ask questions, discuss some of that technology theory, but then apply it to the, to the install side. So it was definitely the right balance of that. And that's not always easy to do. But then, to turn around and cover all those steps of the install, from even understanding, the packing and crating, because, this technology is very expensive. We all know that. Some of the jobs that we've already done, we kind of have policy, and the guys that work on it know. With some other products, the LEDs are very sensitive. So, we make sure all our nails are cut. The hands have to be clean. There's some definite QA things that we have already learned ourselves. But even unpackaging, so you have to be careful. You never know exactly how things are packaged. So, to go through the unpackaging and the uncrating, laying everything out in preparation, to the assembly with all the tight tolerances that are required in assembly, which is, a whole discussion in itself. To the internal and external wiring, the testing, commissioning, and even troubleshooting. Even them throwing a wrench or two at us and making us troubleshoot it. As well as having the necessary tools, the physical tools that we needed to do this. It was very thorough, and it was very cool. Awesome. I've been to many trainings over the years, and this was definitely one of the better ones.
Cool. How many came up from MediaCentric then? Was it yourself, and how many people came with you?
Three of us total came out, myself and two others, two of my leads. In fact, one of them is kind of our technology expert, subject matter expert in video walls. So we wanted to make sure that he, was part of this.
You mentioned testing. When you were back here, did you guys make a chance to go by the reliability lab at all?
We did, actually, and that was pretty cool. We absolutely did see that. I had no idea of how many different pieces of equipment that there are, to do all these kind of tests, the stress tests that are performed on components or assemblies at all those different types of extremes, to ensure the products are built to these very tight tolerances as well as environmental standards. I was really impressed by that. There was just so many different, pieces of machinery. And the things that they were doing for, different physics as well as environmental conditions. But then, of course, it made sense because historically, the majority of your products are outdoors and you have to meet, the particular standards from below freezing all the way to the, the high temperatures and all these different, humidity levels throughout the United States and probably across the world for that matter. So that was pretty cool. And I had no idea there was that many different pieces of equipment that could, bench test, componentry like that. that.
Yeah, there's even the one that usually gets mentioned a lot is the salt fog chamber. People love seeing that, and it's they don't think about, you know, that we put displays on cruise ships. So it's one of those. You mentioned the different heat variances displays have to be in, but then they're out in the ocean, right? So there's a whole lot of different environments they're going to be in. And it's just kind of cool seeing them test it for everything here. So
yeah, usually people get surprised when you see the lid lift and all the smog kind of rolls out and the steam comes out. It shows a lot's going on in there for those components.
I was trying to think. We mentioned how fast we can get the temperature to rise in some of those chambers. Wasn't it like 2 years ago? I know Justin did this. It was a social media video we did for Dectronics. We put like a plastic Easter egg in there to see how fast it melts.
That was around Easter time. We put an Easter egg in there, and it melted that thing within 30 seconds. It was falling apart.
Wow. It was one of those silly things, but I think that was one of our best videos we had posted for a while. It got a ton of traction of just the Easter egg melting in that chamber.
But it also showed the point about what we actually put these things through. I mean, you take a plastic Easter egg from a local store and just set it up in there, and it tears the thing apart.
That's definitely crazy. I mean, honestly, I in other certain manufacturing environments I've been in, it was so rudimentary and minuscule compared to that. I honestly had never been to something to that extent, as well as even the area where, you know, there was the whole RF, that gigantic room with all that, you know, the padding and the tight, you know, the RF shielding or whatever,
chamber.
You know, that was there. That was, and then some of the stories that they were telling us about that, you know, we put up, there was a particular board put up and it's just that, you know, where it might experience or you know, interfere with some things, you know, with other technologies around it. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's definitely something that our engineers are cognizant of, and we have to be in today's world with all the cell phones, especially within stadiums and things, and making sure that emergency vehicles can communicate back and forth without any interruption.
Slightly important.
Yeah, that was very cool for sure. That part, that was definitely a highlight, you know, amongst the other tours, the full tour that we got throughout the factory.
I was going to say, for the time you guys were up here, were you here for 2 or 3 days? You got a little mixture of, you said, hand-on presentations, but you still got a tour. Kind of, how was it, pretty evenly balanced for you guys when you came up?
Yeah, well, the tour was a small part of it, of course, but yeah, they walked us around the different buildings, and we got to see, you know, many different separate, you know, buildings, the huge production floors. I mean, I had no idea, you know, how many products you guys actually, you know, worked on, but I mean, you have these huge production floors, the assembly floors, you know, floors that were burning in product, you know, the different automation that you had, but I was also surprised at how many skilled workers there were that were actually assembling quite a bit of things by hand. That was definitely cool to watch.
That's awesome. I was going to say, I was wondering what other areas you've seen, because we can always get in-depth on tours as we want, or sometimes there's abbreviated ones. So it's kind of cool. It sounds like you guys got definitely a pretty holistic view of everything that we do up here.
Yeah, we did. A little bit of it was at the beginning and a little bit at the end, which for me personally, obviously, as president and kind of the leading the charge of media-centric as far as strategies and relationships, I mean, that was a big part of why I went as well. I mean, you know, I may get involved. I still do some high-level strategic billing on certain projects. I mean, obviously, design and engineering, but some high-profile things. But as far as, you know, the actual installations, I mean, obviously, I don't do that as much anymore. But I like to keep my chops up, but so that was a big part of it, but there was the right balance. I mean, the majority of it was definitely in the training class and doing the hands-on and learning, all those kind of things. But it was good to get the context of Dactronics as a company as a whole. That's probably the biggest part that I got out of it, upon return.
Is that something you definitely recommend other people to come and see it firsthand, to check it out for themselves?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that's handy for a lot of different, you know, manufacturer relationships and strategic relationships, especially for the integrator. I mean, obviously they represent a number of different products and manufacturers. Some align themselves, you know, solely with just a handful. Some have to, because of their size, have to align themselves with, you know, a lot more. I mean, obviously, you know, for the most part, everybody, including us especially, you have to remain, you know, fairly agnostic. So, you know, especially for us, because we represent, so many different integrators and even distributors and manufacturers that we have to that we work for in doing this work. So we have to be well versed at a lot of different technologies. I mean, whether it's on the display side or the audio side or signal distribution, you know, we do have to maintain chops across a number of them. But you know, so even for us, it just helps to have that full context of partners and you know, what they're about, as well as their you know, where they're headed, where they were from, you know, what they're currently doing, as well as, you know, where you're headed. I mean, I've only been learning recently about, you know, video walls overall and direct view LED, and obviously how things are made and where the raw materials are from. And, you know, the reality is we all know that the majority of them come from, you know, China or in Asia these days, Taiwan or you know, Korea, what have you. So there's not a lot of people doing U.S. manufacturing. And so that, you know, to learn about that strategy with you guys, as well as, you know, you're trying to come up with some of the raw materials yourselves. That's really good context for me to understand the future of things.
Yeah, that's a touchy subject, the USA manufacturing. we USA manufacturer using global parts, because according to certain standards, I don't think anybody can ever say that they've made an LED display completely in the United States.
Yep. With us kind of being, I would say, in the infancy maybe in our company's relationships together, how has it been since you guys got back from the training? I mean, it was maybe a couple months ago. You probably haven't had a chance yet to maybe put some of this to work. What's the how is it going kind of when you guys got back to California?
Yeah, well, we haven't done our first wall yet. I'll admit that, but it's only been 2 months. And like you said, these are newer products. The NPN, you know, products for you guys is definitely newer. But we do have several quotes out, and obviously we're working at being, you know, closer and strategic with you guys as far as, you know, like an authorized service provider. Mm-hmm. But we actually have, you know, several quotes, and then of course on marketing. So several quotes with integrator partners. Mm-hmm. You know, these are obviously longer sales cycles. I mean, these are not inexpensive, you know, walls. I mean, they're you know, they're a decent product and a very complicated, typically, and
they're not,
you know,
off the shelf.
A large application. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Definitely not off the shelf. So there's longer sales cycles. So I get that, and so I'm, you know, it's fine. But it's more of preparing, you know, it's definitely preparing for the future. And obviously, as well as you guys, as you're moving more into the channel space, preparing for that as well.
You mentioned the NPN product of ours. That's kind of our lower pixel pitches, like 2.5 millimeter and below type of stuff. That's kind of the trend we've kind of seen, is everything's getting tighter pixel pitches, closer viewing distance for different applications. Are you seeing any different trends in the LED industry from your side?
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously that, the pixel pitch getting smaller so that you can have, you know, people can stand up closer to it, that, you know, without seeing the degraded resolution or what have you. I mean, we deal with that in this industry, even with projectors, let's say. But overall, I mean, generally speaking, you know, the less, you know, as far as less power consumption, I mean, obviously there was times past and different products that I've worked with years ago where, you know, they were just so hot, you know, regardless whether it was LED or LCD or cubes. I mean, a number of different applications and technologies, but they would run, you know, so hot that you'd have to have separate cooling in there and airflow and a lot of things. So the overall less power consumption, which then equates to better cooling, you know, some of these products being now high HDR supported for that more enhanced video experience, the different curved mounting type of structures, more different mounting structure options overall, a little more off the shelf, as well as semi-custom. So I see a lot of the mounting players now all coming out with video wall substructures or kind of superstructures. Traditionally, you've had to have a lot of these very specialized companies that are very expensive and add a lot of cost to the whole solution because you just have to have this extremely sophisticated and engineered superstructure. And so, you know, so that's helping. That's that trend of moving towards, you know, more towards products like your own, like the products we worked with the NPN, and we were able to assemble, you know, all of that that structure ourselves and learn that. And as well, you know, it was something that we can, you have to obviously have some mechanical and structural skill sets, but it definitely made it so the you know, more capable for the layperson. But for precise installation, inner panel connectivity. In times past, you'd always have all this wiring going to every single cabinet or panel. So the trend of having that connectivity, you can kind of plug your connections into the bottom of a vertical chain, but you have interconnections between the panels. That's a pretty interesting trend. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the better and brighter LED diodes that, like you said, narrower pixel pitch, front serviceable. I mean, these are all changes that I've noticed, and it just makes all of these products a little more capable, a little more commoditized, or at least it's still far from commoditized, but at least it's just not so expensive and not so scary for people to work with. It's all coming down to the getting simpler, getting easier for people to install and support.
Yeah, I suppose if the cost is coming down, it's easier for people to say, yes, I want to buy that too, right?
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. That I mean, that's with all technology, right? I remember, I still tell my kids, or I talk to people about back when I was doing computer support, and the first 1 gig hard drive was like $1,000, right? And on these large mainframes that I worked on, I had to support these huge platters, gigantic disk platters, and they were 20 megs, platters, and they were 20 megs each, and so that's that's technology as a whole, right? It's a supply and demand. The more supply there is, the more demand. Everything it's just a cycle of getting things. Obviously, new technologies and costs coming down. Evolutions and advances in technology. So LED displays are no different. We're going to watch that over the next 3 to 5 years. Even look at the large displays that, it was something to see a 65 or a 70 inch, LCD for, $10,000 plus just 5, 6, 7 years ago. And here, I think just recently I saw at Costco a 75 inch display for under $900. That's the way it goes, right? That's the way it goes.
And even Black Friday goes down a lot more even than that. But it's,
oh yeah,
you mentioned HDR, and it seems that way. Trends that go on in consumer televisions make their way even up to us. So it's, there's HDR was a big push. I remember there's a while where 3D content on displays was even
3D TVs
pushing for a while and kind of faded. But then you had mentioned the display is getting narrower and narrower in pixel pitch. It's kind of why even we're talking with you today is because now that allows you to use it in applications that are primarily just reserved for LCDs. And I think from the Daktronics side, it's you can get the pixels closer, but being able to get them bright enough so that if any light shining on them too doesn't get washed out. So that's kind of the, I would add onto the trends of like the pixels getting tighter, but then the brightness also being very important. Because now all of a sudden it doesn't have to be in a closed off room with no windows on it, right, in order to see the content.
Yeah. No, that's actually huge. That is absolutely huge, especially with the public spaces, these things going in public spaces and lobbies and things with huge amounts of ambient light. That's absolutely very strategic to now the proliferation of these products.
Do you see anything changing with the visuals people are putting on these displays now that they're getting closer viewing distances even, or tighter pixel pitches?
Well, sure. I mean, I think that's a whole market in itself. I mean, the whole experiential content. There's you can YouTube some of these. I can't really say the company. I didn't have a part in it, but there's a number of them out there that you can see, and they just have this really crazy experiential content and stunning visuals that are as large as life. I mean, I've lived in Torrance my whole life, which is a suburb of LA. So I grew up going to Disneyland, Magic Mountain, Knott's Berry Farm, Universal Studios, the Planetarium. And then I spent years taking my own kids to these types of theme parks and witnessing these huge format displays, mostly obviously from projection, and still it's a lot of projection, but they're used for attractions and rides and theatrics. And now we see these types of products coming to these corporate lobbies, customer experience center, retail experience, sporting events, and they're giving us these crazy comparable experiences that were previously only seen at theme parks as mm-hmm. being a ride or just this big event. And the cool ones are showing all types of really just high-end nature, running in high definitions that were recorded on multiple HD cameras and then stitched together, with content experts and then on entire walls or multiple walls and as well as varying, architecture on how it's pieced together. So the digital media and technology required to play that content on these walls is definitely a comparable growing market to support support these large format and odd format experiences.
Yeah, it's a good way to think about it. There's different ways people are mounting these displays, like you said, moving around. I know we have our displays at SeaWorld down there in San Diego, too, around that Shamu tank.
Yeah.
They all can all come together and make one display, two different displays, four separate ones. They're on tracks, motorized around. But then there's also this content side of it, where it's, okay, what do you do on the content? So we've been, I'd say we dabble, it's still run a little bit, but the force perspective content, I'm not sure you've had much experience with that at all, David, though, but it was just this, you know, 3D without wearing glasses type of view, but you have to be standing from a certain spot. That's kind of one thing I know we've been asked about before.
But. Sure. Yeah, no, I've experienced that, but I don't have, I'm definitely not a subject matter expert in those kind of spaces, but I love it. I mean, I love being part of it.
I've had it explained to me about five or six times, and I'm still not quite sure I understand how it works, but...
That might happen more often than you think, Matt.
Yeah, hey, there's so much, you know, as I get older in life, I mean, I've been in my career now almost 32 years, and I like to say that, you know, the more I know, the more I realize what I don't know. And I, you know, even in this industry, you know, driving a business and you know, being part of the installation and support and even design of the all these types of products, there's still so many times I just sit back and I just watch and study these kind of things and just, how do they do that? It's just amazing.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious, as for how long you've been in the industry, what is like the main thing that stuck out for you that's so different between, you know, the way things are now versus when you started out? Is it just, I know we joked about the 1 gig hard drive type thing, but is it, what is the thing that you think is just ridiculous now?
You know, honestly, I couldn't even pick just one. I mean, I couldn't, because I started out on computers and networking. And I mean, so you take any of the different, automation, IoT, you know, display, audio, you take any single product in any of these technologies, and every single one of them has these leapfrog advances, obviously because of chipsets and because of cost, because of manufacturing, you know, offshore manufacturing. I mean, there's just so many elements, and I mean, the things they talk about with the amount of information that we as humans are gathering now compared to even just 100 years ago, and how exponential it is, how much we're learning, how much we're advancing. And so you just take any of these technologies and it's just ridiculous. The advances, and I mean, obviously, you know, microprocessors and things that, you know, those, that's at a core, of course, to all types of technologies. But yeah, I could take any different product category. I mean, the speeds in networking, right? The computing power that's now on our phones compared to even, you know, the best computers that we had, 10, 15 years ago, even. I mean, it's all just ridiculous.
And Matt even mentioned something. We've got displays on cruise ships. I'm bringing this back from earlier with the salt fog chamber. We even have video displays on robots on cruise ships moving around. Yeah. It kind of a mix of the SeaWorld thing, but on a cruise ship and with the content moving around. That's some of the crazier things we've seen. And if this is a kind of even growing to cruise ships and robots and all these different things, have you seen any thought for the future? I mean, we think the display market's going to continue to grow with all these different applications. Do you have any thoughts on where it might go?
Sure. Well, I have my general gut feeling, of course, just because of the demand. I mean, so we're an example. I mean, MediaCentric is an example of supply and demand. I mean, if you take the first, you know, year or couple of years that I was in business, I mean, we were doing, you know, video conferencing codecs and flat screens and, you know, very simple things, but you just see the demand and watch the demand over year after year after year and how advanced it gets. I can see that. I have that vantage point. And so I can clearly, just through the business practice, I can forecast and say, yes, I know that, you know, that this thing is going to be hot. But I have tried to, you know, I've done some just general searching online and in different trades. And I found one recently that was from like a year ago from Reuters, from some media research company called Statistics. And they were anticipating and showing how the overall market, the LED video wall specific market, was expected to grow, you know, from almost 1.8 billion in 2017 to nearly 4.3 billion in 2026. You know, with at a compound annual growth rate of 9%. So it's nice to see the market experts, you know, even in looking at these kind of things, and they have a far, you know, more advanced and broad and quantified statistics than I have. I have just more of the street and the front lines view of things. But you know, to me, the data that comes from, you know, my own experience as well as the market overall, overall, and watching how many, you know, I go to InfoComm every year as well as, you know, any NAB and many other trade shows. So you see the products there. And so that gives you some idea. But this is an exciting market segment for sure of technology for the integrator, the manufacturer, and technology subcontractors like MediaCentric. So I'm very grateful that we're in the middle of it, you know, with partners like Dectronics, for example.
Yeah, those are great thoughts to see where we think it might go and to see the statistics about how they feel the market might grow. We're obviously excited about that. But thank you for joining us, David.
Sure. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Matt and Justin.
All right. We'll have to have you back on after that first video wall goes up and we'll hear how that how that project goes. We won't have to name it, but we'll talk about it.
There you go. I would love to.
All right. Thanks, David.
Yep. Thanks.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Dactronics Experience podcast. For more information, visit www.dactronics.com.